This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, as some of you might be aware, in my business consulting, but one of my specialties is change management. Acceleration of change, change management, bringing about creating change. And in that context, I always advise people, I tell people, higher values train skills. Higher values train skills. Because to train values into people, to train people to have the kind of values you want them to have when they don't have them, when they have not been raised in those circumstances, those values have not been inculcated into them, to bring those values into people is, I don't like to use the word impossible, but it's as close to impossible as you can get. It's very, very, very difficult. Rasulullah's challenge was precisely that, to change the values and beliefs of people. Right? It is the most difficult thing to do on the face of the earth in this life. There is nothing which is more difficult than changing or trying to change the values of people. Yet, that was his challenge. So, Rasulullah when he again faced rejection, and amazing it is how, you know, people, when they face rejection, they go into depression and become suicidal and all kinds of things. But it is the Anbiya alayhi salam, whose hearts are supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who faced rejection after rejection after rejection. Take the case of Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years of rejection, right? We talk about his dawah for 950 years, but what is the effect of dawah? The majority, maximum effect of that dawah was that he was rejected by the vast majority of people. So 950 years of rejection, one after the other. Ibrahim alayhi salam, same story. Musa alayhi salam, same story. Isa alayhi salam, same story. Rasulullah, same story. You name the Nabi. It is amazing how anyone who wants, who wishes something good for people and who likes to, and who tries to do something good for people is welcomed, right? What is the secret of, within quotes, the secret of popularity of all the motivational speakers? You know, Tom Peters, this one, that one. What is their... the secret of their popularity? The fact that they want to do something good for people. People appreciate that, right? They become millionaires. I mean, these people charge big money to give those motivational speeches. People are happy to pay that money. Look at the effect of that. How many people do you see in the world who are actually hugely motivated? How many people who are hugely entrepreneurial and so on and so forth? It's a minuscule minority. Yet people, just listening to that, people love to do that. Right? Except one thing, where the so-called motivational speaker is talking about the hereafter, is talking about the akhirah. And that's the only thing which matters. The only thing which matters, if whether I'm motivated or demotivated, whether I am hugely positive or negative, whether I am depressed or whether I am hugely energetic or whatnot, as far as this life is concerned, that state of being has a finite ending. There is a time when it will be finished. What remains is what goes with me in the Akhirah, to the Day of Judgment. And when anyone in the world presented that to people, all that he got was opposition. All that he got was opposition. And that was the state of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he returned with sadness at the rejection. Aqil bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib, narrated that the Quraysh, they came and they complained to Abu Talib and said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is disrupting their meetings and so on and so on. He wasn't disrupting their meetings. This was all concocted stuff that they made up for himself because he was preaching a way of being and a belief system that they did not believe in. So they said, Abu Talib gently requested Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to stop his dawah. He said, why don't you stop it? This is the people, nobody is listening to you. So what's the point in continuing? just give it up. Go do something else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, he said, my uncle, do you see the sun? He said, I am no more capable of stopping the sun. And you are no more capable of getting a flame from the sun than I am capable of stopping this message. I am no more capable of stopping the sun, meaning in its orbit, and you are no more capable of getting a flame from it than I am capable of stopping this message. Now this was, in another narration he said, if they put the sun in one hand and if they put the moon in the other hand for me, I will still not give up what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me as my job, this message. Before I go further, let us just reflect on this one thing and say, this is the true value of Islam. Right? This is the true value of Islam. This is the price tag of Islam. Do we believe that? Do we feel this value? Do we really say, subhanAllah, this is what Allah has given me? And for most of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us without any problem. I mean, there are people, I know some of them, who have accepted Islam in some very hostile conditions, and they had to go through all kinds of difficulties. Some of them are still in those difficulties. May Allah ease things for them. May Allah help them and support them and protect them. But for most of us, we were born into Islam. My family has been Muslim for over 1,000 years. Right? There's not a single non-Muslim anywhere in my lineage. And we trace in my mother's side, we trace our lineage back all the way to the Sahaba, to Rasulullah's time. So what was my difficulty in accepting Islam? Nothing. I mean, I was born into a Muslim family. Islam was all around me. And maybe that's the reason why we do not value it the way we should value it. But the Sahaba, every single one of them came into Islam. Every single Sahabi was a convert. And that's why they had value for it. So Abu Talib, when he heard this, he said, no problem. I believe you. Go ahead and do what you must do. But think about this. Here is a man who gave his support to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who faced the hostility of his nation, of his people, and who suffered because of that. In the end, he died in the valley by his name, the Sheikh Abi Talib, during the boycott that the Makkan Quraysh and the Makkans visited upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his immediate family, the Banu Hashim, because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's method. Abu Talib stood with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout that. He even died in that situation. But he did not accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the situation with Abu Talib? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him in Jahannam, but will ease his punishment. They said, what is that? He said, they will put sandals of fire on his feet, because of which his brain will boil in his head like water boils in a pot. Now think about that. This is the easiest. This is the least of the punishments of the hellfire. May Allah protect us from this. We are not capable of sustaining or bearing any of it even for a split second. But why is that happening? Because he did not accept the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So accepting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just loving him, just singing nasheed about him, just praising him alone is not enough. That praise, that love must be expressed and must be proved by following his message. Walid bin Mughira, he said, if Allah wanted to choose a prophet, why didn't he choose me? Now, he was one of the big people in Quraysh. Al-Mughira bin Sha'aba said, one day I was walking in the streets of Makkah with Abu Jahl. See how the dynamics of this whole thing. He said, I was walking in Makkah with Abu Jahl when we ran into Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he came to Abu Jahl and he said, why don't you believe what I'm telling you and believe in Allah and follow me? Abu Jahl said, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will you stop cursing our gods? Now, He didn't curse the gods, but this is what Abu Dhabi, this is his way. And he said, if you want us to testify that you have completed your mission, we will testify. And if you are looking for us to give you support and to testify wherever, we will do that. Then he said, if I thought you were telling the truth, I would have already followed you. So he outright denied that. Rasulullah ﷺ left. Al-Mughira said, then Abu Jahl said to me, I know he's telling the truth. And see the duplicity of this man. On the face of Rasulullah ﷺ, he completely denies him. And he said, if I thought you were telling the truth, I would have already believed it, meaning I don't believe that you are speaking the truth. But to Al-Mughira in private, he says, I know he's telling the truth, but something is holding me back. Then he says, and this is the crux of the matter, he says, the descendants of Husay bin Kilab, meaning he's talking about the Banu Hashim. Now, he was from the Banu Makhzum, he was from a different tribe, different part of the tribe, different sect of the tribe. So he says, the descendants of Husay bin Kilab said, they wanted hijaba, they wanted siqaya, they wanted an-nadwa, they wanted duwai, which is feeding the pilgrims, giving them support, giving them water from Zamzam. And an-nadwa was their meeting hall, so the Banu Hashim were the leaders of the community. He said, we gave all this. Then we picked up and we were running with them neck to neck. So he said, we also had our own reasons for our significance, and this was it was equal kind of a race. When they say they have a prophet, now how can we compete with that? So he said, by God, we will never accept. So really here the issue is ego. The issue here is not truth and falsehood. The issue here is not whether what Rasulullah is saying is correct or not correct. The issue here is, even though I know what he's saying is correct, I will not accept it, because it will mean that I now have to make myself subordinate to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will not do that. That is his position. It's a position of ego. So for Abu Jahl, it was a matter of competing for status with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family. Now this is a very important lesson in how pride blinds us from the truth and hardens us in falsehood. Even though we know that what the other person is saying is correct. The important thing to realize is that if someone tells you that your house is on fire and you don't believe that person and you don't accept it because you don't like that person who gave you the news, in the end, it is you and your house which will burn. Not liking the messenger is not going to save you from the result of denying that message. The one who gave you the message, he won't burn, because he's told you what he has to tell you and he will leave. But you don't want to believe that. So what happens? You damage yourself. We can only reject the truth at our own peril. Wisdom lies in listening to the message objectively and accepting the truth, and not be colored by our likes and dislikes in a way that prevents us from accepting the truth. And that is the reality which I remind myself and you. Let us think about that. Rasulullah ﷺ, by and large, was not personally, physically persecuted or attacked by the Quraysh because of his lineage and the protection of his uncle Abu Talib. And of course, Uqba bin Abi Muayyad, he put that, intestines of the camel on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed neck when he was in sujood. So some things like this they did. May Allah will punish them for that. But the thing here is that they didn't sort of beat him up, or they didn't, they didn't physically assault him and things like this. But the Sahaba were persecuted mercilessly, especially the weak, especially the women, especially the slaves. Some of them, they would dress them in metal armor and they would be staked out in the sun. They would, tie them to stakes and put them out in the sun, in the desert, and imagine they would leave them the whole day. So, they would lose consciousness, they would be suffering with thirst and so on. Umayyah bin Khalaf, used to put a rock on the chest of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu and have him dragged on the ground. Imagine what would happen to his back and so on. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu used to continue to say, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. Umayyah bin Khalaf would get so angry with this that he would beat him. He used to beat him mercilessly until he himself got exhausted. His arm got exhausted and he couldn't beat him anymore. So he didn't stop because of mercy, he stopped because he just got tired. But Sayyidina Bilal continued to say Ahadun Ahad. Later on, somebody asked him, they said, why did you do that? Why did you say Ahadun Ahad? Sayyidina Bilal said something which is so incredible. He said, I used to say that because that used to anger him the most. Imagine, this shows the tremendous spirit of Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu and his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his deen. He was not trying to escape punishment. On the contrary, he did something which could only make the punishment more severe, because it made that man more angry. But he did that so that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remain supreme and the enemies of Allah would despair. Right? Now, he was not the only one to be tortured by any means. Yasir radiallahu anhu and his wife Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha, the parents of Ammar ibn Yasir, were beaten and tortured and eventually murdered, both of them. Abu Jahl killed both Sayyida Sumayya bint Khayyat. She was the first shaheed in Islam. The first martyr in Islam was a woman, Sumayya bint Khayyat. And after that, he killed her husband Yasir radiallahu anhu as well. Ammar bin Yasir also, he caught him, he tortured him, he beat him up and so on, and finally in that pain, in being unable to bear the pain, Ammar bin Yasir said some things about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Abu Jahl insisted he should say, upon which he released him. Ammar bin Yasir was very upset about this, upset with himself about this, you know, how could he have done it, and he was absolutely heartbroken and very ashamed of himself. He went to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he confessed. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened to me. He beat me up and so on. And then I had to say what I said. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, how was your heart? He said, no, my heart was completely at peace. There was no way any doubt entered my heart ever. But I said this because I had to save my life. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in that case, there's no sin on you. Which gives us the usul that in order to save your life or to save yourself from torture and so on, you are permitted to recant your faith or to say something which is against Islam if you are in that sort of dire straits. But think about that. The same situation was there for the parents of Yasir, or parents of Ammar ibn Yasir, his father Yasir and his mother Sumayya radiallahu anhuma. The same situation was with them, but they chose to die rather than to recant or to get out of Islam or to say anything negative about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So each one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports and rewards in keeping with what they do. Khabban bin Arat was another one who was tortured, radiallahu anhu. He used to be burnt. They used to heat coal and put rocks and heat them, and then they would lay him on that. And he said until the fire would go out, because of the blood and fat of my body, which would make the fire go out. He said this was the way they tortured. And and one day he showed his back to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He raised his shirt and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Subhanallah, he said, I've never seen anybody's back like that. He said, it is so, so bad. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about these times in Surah Al-Anfal, which means Allah said, and remember when the disbelievers plotted against you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to imprison you or kill you or to get you out from your home in Makkah, to banish you, they were plotting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too was plotting, and Allah is the best of planners. They were planning and Allah was also planning, and Allah is the best of planners. Khabbab bin Arat, one day, despite all of this torture and so on, one day he went to Rasulullah, who was sitting near the Kaaba, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should relieve us from this suffering. Rasulullah's face became red with anger. He said, there were people before you where they would catch a believer, and they would comb the flesh off their body with metal combs. Right? They would place a saw on top of the Muslim's head, and they would saw him from his head down until his body fell in two pieces. Yet they did not give up their religion. Yet they did not leave their faith. He said, be patient, have sabr, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come until a woman will be able to walk from Sana'a to Hadramaut, the two places in Yemen, without being hindered, fearing nobody but Allah. Tells us two very important things. One is the importance of sabr, the importance of staying steadfast, not losing hope, not giving up, not complaining. So, so critically important. And the second one is the importance of is the fact that help will come, inshallah. Now, why did he name Sana'a and Hadramaut? Because these places, he didn't name Makkah or any other place. Because in pre-Islam, these were very insecure places. It was a completely tribal area and one of the most insecure places in the world. Today, unfortunately, again, it's become totally insecure, and you cannot travel there unless you are in an armed convoy. And of course, that's a part of the war zone. And, you know, so that has proves that Muslims also, but human beings never learn. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws for the establishment of his deen are like his laws of physics and chemistry and so on. We must go through the mill if we want to establish the deen of Islam, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and his sahaba did. There is no shortcut. There is no magic formula. There is no wazifa that you can read and you know, blow on water and drink it and everything will be fine. No. We have to go through the mill if we want results. The Quraysh then decided to send Utbah bin Rabi'ah to Rasulullah ﷺ, as he was an expert in poetry and magic. Now he went with a set of questions, and he asked Muhammad ﷺ, he said, tell me, O Muhammad, who is better, you or your father? Now he's trying, he said, or you or Abdul Muttalib, your grandfather. Now he's trying to play on these games to say that if Rasulullah ﷺ said, I am better than my father, then he would have said, see, here is a man who's destroying our tradition and so on. The fact is that Rasulullah was better than his father and his grandfather and everybody else. But Utbah bin Rabi'ah was trying to trap Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that. So he said, tell me, O Muhammad, who's better, you or your father, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you or Abdul Muttalib. If they were better than you, then remember that they lived and died on our religion. If you claim to be better than them, then speak so that we can judge. He said, by God, there is no one who has brought so much evil on us. You have criticized us and our fathers and created dissent among us so that we have been disgraced among the Arabs. And today people are saying that there is a sorcerer among the Quraysh. Now the strange thing is that they were the ones who called Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a sorcerer. And now Utbah tries to blame Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this, saying how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving the Quraysh a bad name. Yeah, this is the way of the enemies of Islam. Fake news and Islamophobic propaganda is as old as Islam itself. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam simply listened in silence. Then he asked him, he said, oh Utbah, are you done? He said, have you finished? Utbah said, yes, I have finished. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then recited the beautiful ayat of Surah Fussilat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these beautiful surahs, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayat of Surah Fussilat until the from the first to the 14th ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. He said, Hameem, Tanzeelun Minar Rahmanir Raheem, Kitabun Fussilat Ayatuhu Qur'anan Arabiyyan Liqawmi Ya'lamun, Bashiran Wa Nathira, Fa'arad Aktharuhum, Fahum La Yasma'un. وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فاستقيموا إليه واستغفروه وويل للمشركين الذين لا يؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون قل أئنكم لتكفرون بالذي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها وقدر فيها أقواتها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين فقضاهن سبع سماوات في يومين وأوحى في كل سماء أمرها وزينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وحفظا ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم فإن أعرضوا فقل أنذرتكم صاعقة مثل صاعقة عاد وثمود إذ جاءتهم الرسل من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم ألا تعبدوا إلا الله قالوا لو شاء ربنا لأنزل ملائكة فإنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون Now, the meaning of all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with one of the huruf al-muqatta'at, two of them, ha, mim. A revelation from Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, a book whereof the ayat are explained in detail, a Quran in Arabic for people who know, giving glad tidings of Jannah to the one who believes in Islam, or the one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to do, and warning of punishment in the hellfire for the ones who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but most of them turn away, so they do not listen. And they say our hearts are under coverings, screened from that to which you invite us, and in our ears is deafness, and between us and you is a screen, so you work on your way. Verily, we are working on our way. Allah says, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am only a human being like you. It is inspired in me that your ilah, your deity, your God is one ilah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, take the straight path to him, which is Islam. And obedience to him, and seek his forgiveness, and woe to all the mushrikun, all the polytheists and the disbelievers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who do not give zakat, and they are disbelievers in the hereafter. Truly those who believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Islam, and do good deeds, for them will be an endless reward that will never stop, which is Jannah. Say, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you verily disbelieve in Him who created the earth in 2 days, and you set up rivals in worship with Him? That is the Rabb of the Alameen. That is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the Rabb of the Alameen, which is all that exists, mankind and jinn and so on. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, the glorious and the magnificent, placed therein, which is on the earth, firm mountains from above it, and He blessed it and measured therein its sustenance for its dwellers in 4 days. That is, all these 4 days were equal in the length of time for all those who ask about its creation. Then He, Istawa, rose over the earth toward the heaven when it was smoke, and said to it and to the earth, come both of you willingly or unwillingly. They both said, we come willingly. Then He, Jalla Jalaluhu, completed and finished from the creation 7 heavens in 2 days, and He made in each heaven its affair. And we adorned the nearest, the lowest heaven with lamps, the stars to be an adornment, as well as to guard from Shayateen. Such is the decree of Him, the Almighty, the All-Knower. But if they turn away, then say, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have warned you of a sa'iqa, which is a destructive, awful cry or torment, like a thunderbolt. Like the cry, the thunderbolt, which overtook Aad and Samud. When the messengers came to them from before them and behind them, saying, worship none but Allah, and they said, If our Rabb had so willed, He would surely have sent down angels. So indeed, we disbelieve in what you have been sent with. So they disbelieved. And Udba heard this recitation. He put his hand on the mouth of Rasulullah and he said, stop, don't say this. Then he ran away to his friends. His people asked him, what happened? He said, Muhammad said something which I don't understand. But he spoke of the punishment of Aad and Thamud. Now these were tribes and these were people that these Arabs knew from out of their own history. And he said, I could not bear to hear it. And I told him to stop and return. They said to him, that's strange. He spoke in Arabic and you could not understand. He said, I have no idea what he said. And this shows what happens to people whose hearts are sealed against the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the ayat in this surah mentioned. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from our own stubbornness, our own unwillingness to face reality, unwillingness to accept the truth, and to guide us. We ask Allah to guide us on the path to righteousness and to His pleasure. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته